Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. This emergency news update brought to you by our friends at 1-800-Flowers.com. All right, today, your last chance to order Mother's Day bouquets. 1-800-Flowers.com is offering up to 40% off best-selling bouquets and gifts. Just go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click on the radio icon, put in my last name, Hannity. Do it for Mom. Hey, glad you're with us. All right, we made it. It's Friday. Let not your heart be troubled. And write down our toll-free telephone number if you want to be a part of this extravaganza. 800-941-SEAN if you want to join us. All right, we've got a huge controversy emerging in New York. This radical Sharia-supporting commencement speaker, also going to be speaking at Dartmouth University. We'll get into that later in the program. What really ticks me off are some of the things that this woman, her name is Linda Sasour, has said about friends of mine, including, by the way, our friend Brigitte Gabriel and Ayan Hirsi Ali. Remember, Ayan Hirsi Ali went through genital mutilation, and now she is being attacked. And actually, this woman tweeted out, there's nothing creepier than Zionism, said that Brigitte Gabriel, Ayan Hirsi Ali deserve an ass-whipping, and that she wishes she could have their vaginas taken away for their opposition to Sharia law, which she supports. She's now the commencement speaker at the Senior University in New York. She's now going to speak at Dartmouth College. Isn't Dartmouth an Ivy Leaguer? Good grief. What is wrong with these people? There's like a missing switch in all these liberals. Now, you can't have somebody like Ann Coulter ever say a word, utter a word on campus. And by the way, I'm not saying take her out and cancel her stupid speech. It's like Adolf Ahmadinejad, Holocaust denying, you know, kill the Jews and wipe Israel off the map. He gets to go to Columbia University. Liberals are, it's freedom of speech. Ann Coulter, they're utterly, completely silent. You know, just on so many of these issues. You know, look at the attack that went against Ivanka Trump on HBO last weekend by that despicable, vile human being, Bill Maher. And what did Bill Maher? Oh, he's talking about incest. Incest about the first daughter? You know, imagine this happens in the Obama years or the Clinton years or the Carter years or any Democratic administration. First of all, it's just disgusting across the board. You haven't heard a peep out of any so-called feminist in America today about how despicable any of that was. Sorry, I was reaching for my printer. I got to give the president props. You know, there comes a point and there comes a time in life I can't take it anymore. And you just got to fight back. Now, I do think that maybe the president at times should, you know, go back on Twitter and just maybe he should start every week releasing and tweeting out all of his accomplishments from the very beginning since he's become president. And then put in red, I guess. I don't know if you can put in red on Twitter, but if you can, do it. I don't know if you can. But put out, you know, updates. This is what we did this week. Because nobody in the media is ever going to ever cover any single accomplishment that he ever had. Now, it probably doesn't impact all of you, but you know what? This is the same guy that picked up the phone for Carrier and Fiat Chrysler and Ford and GM and all these American companies and, you know, got this Alibaba guy, Steve, what's his name, Steve Ma, and I think even Apple and all these companies are going to be investing money and investing billions of dollars because he's ending Obama-era regulations. He's single-handedly saved the coal industry. He's moving America towards energy independence. All things that I, as a conservative, love. And I'm like, he's never going to get credit for it. You know, I started to get in a fight with this dopey NRO guy, arrogant, ignorant, elitist snob that he is. And then I said, why bother? This guy hasn't said anything significant, written anything significant his entire career. And I guarantee you that 98% of you have no idea who this idiot is today. You know, just like I've wasted my time going after these morons on CNN. I'm like, why am I wasting their time? Nobody even knows who these people are. And all they do is, you know, you have this media coffee clatch of people. All they do is tweet each other all day. And if you tweet my article, I'll tweet your article. You tweet my article, I'll tweet your article. And then this guy goes, does, you know, the great elitist, erudite, you know, top of the line, snobby NRO guys, you know, telling me I'm dim and dumb and this and that, and I'm not even sober. I wish I had a drink. I had not had a drink. I wish I did. And it's Friday, so I'll have one later today. Anyway, I love Trump going on offense. You know, Trump has to defend himself. It's really ridiculous. You know, nobody in the media will point out what we have played over and over again. James Clapper and Admiral Rogers and all these other people. And by the way, confirmed even by Senator Grassley of Iowa. Yeah, oh, Comey told me he's not investigating Trump. And the Trump and the Russia tinfoil hat conspiracy nonsense that continues on NBC and CNN and the New York Times endlessly. It's endless. It's breathless reporting. You know, I'm actually going to show a video tonight. CNN actually reporting that the president, when he eats dinner, only allows himself to get two scoops of ice cream. Everybody else only gets one. I'm like, oh, big, huge breaking news. This is what a news channel is for. It's so absurd. The president just went out there and he started taking it on himself. Now, it doesn't mean anything that the president, for example, delivered a huge win for beef producers today. And he had to go out and tweet it. I didn't even know about it till I saw it on his Twitter account today. And I follow the news extremely closely. But all I read about is Russia conspiracy. And, you know, everyone didn't seem to have a problem when.
Hey, Medvedev, Dmitry, tell Vladimir that, you know, after my re-election, I don't have to worry about being elected again. I have a lot more flexibility.
Yeah, after my election, I have more flexibility. Yeah, I understand. I transmit this information to Vladimir and understand it.
You know, that's not a Russia conspiracy at all. Or Hillary Clinton. I'm actually bringing back Schweitzer back on Hannity tonight. You want the real Russia conspiracy? I'll give it to you at 10 Eastern. The Uranium One deal. Hillary signs off a waiver as the Secretary of State so that Russia gets 20% of our uranium. Of course, the foundational material to build nuclear weapons. That to Vladimir Putin, to Russia. A great Russian reset, Hillary. Anyway, but I didn't finish. U.S. beef producers, you know, the president actually, you know, reached a deal with China. You know, the Chinese president leaves the White House, puts 175,000 troops on the North Korean border. Chinese president leaves the White House, and their state-run newspaper starts challenging North Korea for the first time. The Chinese premier, so yeah, they're open to new trade. And all the other, you know, the 30-minute meeting becomes a 45-minute meeting. Anyway, so nobody's paid attention that China reached a 10-part preliminary trade agreement that allows beef exports to resume to China for the first time in 13 years. One of the most underreported stories about Donald Trump's success is that, let's see, he's met with the Saudi prince, the Israeli prime minister, the Palestinian Authority idiot, Abbas, that pays terrorists and their families that kill Israelis and Americans. He's met with the Jordanian king. He's met with the Egyptian president and General al-Sisi. He has a chance of creating a new alliance in the Middle East that nobody thought possible. He's now funding the Kurds in the north so that they can take back Iraq from ISIS. And that's an actual plan that can have some major impact. And we're not going to send American blood and treasure to fight, bleed, and die so Washington can screw over military families again and say, never mind, after people shed their blood and give their lives. You know, so, okay, 13 years we haven't had beef going into China. It's estimated to be worth $2.6 billion for the beef industry. Well, you know what? If I'm in the beef industry, I'm pretty darn happy today. But that all we can hear about is Russia, 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 Russia. Nobody in the media points out that James Clapper and everybody else with any knowledge that there was no collusion. And it's just an obsession. Tin foil conspiracy hats they ought to be wearing on NBC and CNN every night. I have no doubt in the New York Times newsroom that's what they do every day. Or these idiot never Trumpers, you know, that can't even recognize how awful they were in NRO and how wrong they were. You know, if Hillary had won, which they were hoping would happen so they could say people like me were wrong. Sorry, guys, you blew it. But we wouldn't have Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court. We wouldn't have Obama-era regulations going by the wayside. We wouldn't have been able to save the coal industry and at least move towards energy independence, move towards a sensible tax policy, move towards increasing the amount of money invested in the economy by incentivizing corporations to stay here and not go abroad, by securing America's borders. That's going to also help with Americans out of the labor force and in poverty and on food stamps that I guess not one of these snotty elitists at the NRO give a rip about. I'm so tired of conservative elitism. They were so smart that they would have helped elect Hillary Clinton. And they're the real geniuses in life. They're just nothing but a bunch of arrogant asses that don't give a flying rip about anybody besides themselves, as they arrogantly think they own conservatism. And they, just like people thought Ronald Reagan was an amiable dunce, that came from Republicans. They can't see that this president is succeeding and how wrong they were and how they were aiding and abetting Hillary Clinton in her attempt to win by doing everything they could do to undermine Donald Trump. Well, that doesn't help the men and women in this country that have been suffering under Obama's awful policies and America's precipitous decline. They won't even give them credit on foreign policy. It's just, I have no time for idiocy anymore in my life, and these people just are so arrogant. You know, I guess they're doing their level best to show that they too can be like William F. Buckley, being so mature, debating Gore Vidal and whatever he said in that debate. Anyway, James Comey was pretty funny. He goes out there and he said, oh, he better hope there are no tapes. And we just played at the beginning of the hour that on the James Comey issue, oh, I wish I never picked up the phone. I wish you never picked up the phone. Because you created a mess where we don't have equal justice under the law and the equal application of America's laws, and you're trampling on the Constitution, and you, you know, 13-minute stinging indictment becomes a never mind from you, even though the standard of gross negligence was more than met with the Hillary Clinton email server scandal. The issue of quid pro quo and pay to play in the Clinton Foundation couldn't be any more clear. You know, the issue that there was no one, it's incontrovertible, that General Flynn was unmasked and that intelligence, raw intelligence, was leaked, which is a violation of the Espionage Act. And it's like the only person that is out there defending truth is Donald Trump himself and a few of us that have the courage to just look at this presidency objectively and say, and by the way, he's not perfect. But by the way, neither is anybody else out there in this world. Anyway, I thought it was funny, and I don't think people even recognize Trump's humor. I hope there are no tapes of our conversations before he starts leaking to the press. James Comey is not going away. Let me tell you the truth. James Comey is now going to align with the Democratic Party and do everything he could do. We now know it's on record that he apparently was referring to the president as crazy. Well, he didn't do his job. He didn't equally apply the rule of law to every American. Well, one set of laws for the Clintons and one set of laws for the rest of America. Well, that doesn't fly if you're the FBI director. And this notion, by the way, this new FBI, interim FBI director, has a little problem with his wife and money and Terry McAuliffe, but let's not, well, why should we talk about that? I'm going to talk about the rule of law. And the idea that FBI rank and file love Comey, it's a crock. You know how I know? Because I have friends that are FBI agents. None of them like Comey. None of them. And they were embarrassed after that 13-minute stinging indictment followed by never mind. All of them were embarrassed, every single one. All right, this emergency news update brought to you by your mom and 1-800-Flowers.com. All right, today is your last chance to order Mother's Day bouquets that'll make it in time for her one special day. So unless you want to be remembered as the kid who forgot about all the moms in your life, you better get moving. And lucky for you, 1-800-Flowers.com can still deliver any of their beautiful, stunning bouquets, but the clock is ticking. And right now, 1-800-Flowers is offering a very special deal, up to 40% off best-selling bouquets and gifts that are perfect for Mother's Day, but you have to order right now, your last chance. That's up to 40% off for mom at 1-800-Flowers.com, an amazing deal, but you have to order today to ensure delivery by Mother's Day. Don't settle for anything less than 1-800-Flowers.com. Now, to get beautiful bouquets and arrangements and other Mother's Day goodies up to 40% off, just go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click on the radio icon, put in my last name, Hannity. 1-800-Flowers.com, my last name, Hannity. This is your last chance. All right, so the president fighting back. Remember what Chuck Schumer said? We played it for you earlier in the week that, oh, they'll get you six ways to Sunday if you take on the intelligence community. Well, now there's a Bloomberg article out on Drudge saying, well, you better watch it. Now the FBI is after Trump. Oh, great. That's how powerful our intelligence agency is? That's how powerful our FBI is, that you better watch out, that the feeling among the Senate minority leader is they're going to get you? Wow. Is that the country we live in? Are you going to be surveilled, unmasked? They're going to leak intelligence? Nobody ever gets in trouble, at least under the Comey regime. I know a lot of FBI agents, a lot of them. And I'll be honest, most of them told me they were embarrassed at that July 5th presser, 13-minute indictment leading to a never mind. And, you know, there was no collusion. There's no evidence of any collusion with Russia and the Trump campaign. This is from the beginning. It's been a story that has been fabricated in advance by Hillary and her surrogates that lost an election they were never supposed to lose. And they had to come up with some flimsy excuse. So they blame the FBI director, who they hated, and now they love, because Donald Trump fired him, and Russia. You know, the president tweeted out today, Russia must be laughing up their sleeves watching as the U.S. tears itself apart over a Democratic excuse for losing this election. There's actually truth in all of that. And then the president goes, and this may not be a bad idea. The president goes, maybe the best thing would be to cancel all future press briefings and just hand out written responses for the sake of accuracy. And I'm thinking, in light of all the fake news that's out there, and, you know, CNN actually released a statement slamming the president, because the president has pointed out that some of their shows, you know, slant left, and they criticize Joe Scarborough. I've never seen anybody in the history of cable TV, and I see ratings every day. And we, thanks to you, we have one of the highest rated cable shows every night in the country. And we have for most of my, now into my 22nd year. You've made that possible. I'll never forget it. And all these low rated shows get more press, more adulation, more praise, more written about them, as if people are actually watching them. There was a friend of mine in TV said, my morning show in Seattle gets higher ratings than the national show of Joe and Mika. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue. 800-941-SHAWN. All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two Go Anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows for 40% off. And that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow.
The one thing you can always count on. Sean Hannity is back on the radio.
All right, 25 till the top of the hour on this Friday, 800-941-SHAWN, if you want to be a part of the program. I love that the president's fighting back, and I actually think, I don't think it's a bad idea, cancel the press briefings. What is the point at this point? It is nonstop hostility by a media that colluded with Hillary Clinton. So what's the point? I mean, they're getting the benefit of the doubt. Doesn't matter what the president says or does. They're just not going to stop. And I'm not going to play it. It was on the front of the Drudge Report yesterday that Lester Holt, in less than 3 minutes, interrupted the president 9 times. Now, by the way, there's a certain part of me that's sympathetic to, you know, you have X number of minutes, you got a lot of stuff to get in, and I'm not being hypercritical of Lester Holt, but I mean, the whole interview was Russia, 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 and it does get old at some point to me. Hang on, let me put this in my computer. There you go. I apologize for that. So annoying, isn't it? Are you there yet? I think the funniest thing that is the Drudge headline now is, are there tapes? Then you've got Trump, you know, going out and saying, listen, James Comey, you know, he was incompetent. We've gone over the laws as it relates to the Clinton, as it relates to the email server scandal and gross negligence and destroying of top secret special access programs. Everyone seems to forget that it's 99.9% confirmed that five foreign intelligence agencies were able to get Hillary's emails with top secret classified and special access program information there. By the way, that could put people's lives in danger. That was the big Valerie Plame argument back in the day, and she was not even an operative. Oh, you're putting people's lives in danger. Anyway, now Comey's, I'm not worried, and his allies are now upping their rapid response attacks. I would bet any day now that Comey's going to be an NBC, MSNBC contributor. And, you know, now Clapper is coming to the defense, contradicting what he even said earlier this week today, I noticed, in an interview on MSNBC. That's where they go. And then we got even Chuckie Schumer saying, well, you better not mess with the intel community. You better not mess with the FBI. They'll get you six times and sideways.
President-elect's latest yeah. unsolicited pronouncement on the intelligence community. This was his tweet just a little while ago tonight. You see the scare quotes there. The yeah. intelligence briefing yeah. on so-called Russian hacking was delayed until Friday. Perhaps more time needed to build a case. Very strange. But he's taking these shots, this antagonism, yep. this taunting to the intelligence community.
Let me tell you, you take on the intelligence community, they yeah. have six ways from Sunday at yeah. getting back at you.
Yeah.
So even yeah. for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community
would do? Stop right there. He's being really, yeah, they're going to get you six ways to Sunday. Oh, gosh, they'll crush you. They'll destroy you. They'll kill you. How does the intelligence community, let's examine that a little more deeply. How does the intelligence community destroy you and get you six ways from Sunday if they don't surveil you, unmask you, leak against you, just like they did General Flynn, who I was told on some levels was really disliked by some in the intelligence community? Really? So I guess maybe Chuck is right. Maybe he's speaking truth to power there in some ways. That's the parts of the deep state that don't want the to drain the swamp. That is the swamp. Now, I say this not because I give a flying rip whatever happens to me, and I've already, every lie that could ever be told about me has pretty much now been told. So I don't really care. I don't give a flying rip. And I've got a team of attorneys and investigators to go after anybody that is messing with me now. Some things that we have now doing behind the scenes, and there are people out there that know pretty darn well that what I'm saying is true right about now. And I'm just saying I'm not going to take it without fighting, because there's so much lying and there's so much conspiracy and such an attempt to destroy, smear, slander, besmirch, and frankly destroy anybody and everybody, starting with the president, and as much collateral damage as they could possibly have. And that's why I guess there's silence on the comments of people like Colbert and Bill Maher. I mean, I can't imagine Hillary, the great champion of women's rights, being silent. You know, Chelsea Clinton and Ivanka used to be friends. And Hillary can't tweet out, Bill Maher, shut your trap and stop attacking women this way? No, because that's political. You know, the media getting obsessed with, I asked if I was under investigation, if he could tell me, you know, if it's possible, would you let me know? What? Okay, so what? I'd ask the same question. There's just so much smoke in the media, so many tinfoil hat conspiracy theories out there. I'd ask the same damn thing. Now, the president, nobody picked up on this part, said he wants, supports a full, complete, exhaustive investigation. Whatever Russian interference might have been in the U.S. election. Now, we've been told by these very same intelligence people that Russia has done it in the past and will do it again in the future. And Barack Obama did nothing to stop the vulnerability as it relates to our email, our server protections and cybersecurity. Nothing in 8 years, which has created a vulnerability that worse and worse and worse. How does the DNC tell the FBI, no, you can't look at our computers. We'll hire an outside firm. We don't want you seeing this. How'd they get away with that? How do people get offers of immunity and then the right to destroy the evidence on their computers? Never saw that either. And Comey looked almost absurdly confused and incompetent. Yeah, he was grandstanding. He didn't have the right to usurp the authority of Loretta Lynch. Even we have methods in place if, in fact, there's a conflict of interest and she needed to recuse herself. You know, Holt asked, well, if Trump's angry with Comey, he says, I want somebody who's competent. I love the FBI. I'm a fan of the FBI. Said he never tried to pressure Comey into dropping. How about we just get to the bottom of it? Since it's been going on for nearly a year, so the country can move on definitively. It's like in the case of Hillary Clinton. It's overwhelming, incontrovertible evidence. Yeah, she destroyed emails on her server that she shouldn't have destroyed. It's a crime. Just like the private email server in the mom and pop shop bathroom closet with special access program information, top secret information, classified information. It's unbelievable that Comey didn't get, I can't quite get there. Really? Because all it says is gross negligence is not putting it in the bathroom of a mom and pop shop server that was hacked by at least five foreign intelligence services. Not evidence enough of gross negligence. I don't know what is. Deleting nearly 33,000 emails, including top secret classified that we since later discovered. That's not a crime either when it's a felony to destroy those documents. And nobody in the media ever brings up these questions. I said to Bette Midler on Twitter yesterday, she says something about Hannity. And I said, okay, let's debate it. Did Hillary Clinton violate the law? And did she lie? Full hour, Hannity, Fox News Channel. The only way she could beat me, I guess, if she starts singing from a distance. Or the wind beneath my wings. Or something, whatever else she sings out there that I can't stand. And I would never listen to 10 seconds of it. Good thing we don't have the rights to play it, do we? She'll charge us and sue us. So I can't. Jason's dying to play it to annoy me, and he can't. I think that's hilarious. Lester Holt asking, by the way, does anybody remember the definitive statements that Russia, we were told, did not impact one single vote, not one voting machine at all in the country in the last election? Anybody going to report that out of the interview? No, they're just too interested that Donald Trump fired back at the no-talent Stephen Colbert and his show was dying before he started attacking me. By the way, that happens to be true. Show was dying. Trump saved the careers of 50 to 100 so-called comedy writers. And once Colbert went full-on hate Trump, he started doing well. All right, good for him. I can't stand it, but I guess there's an audience out there that wants to hear bizarre conspiracies and they can't get enough Trump hate out there. There's so much else, and Trump's right. Russia's probably laughing. We've set the whole country into a tizzy. America's collapsing under the conspiracy theories. The Senate Judiciary Committee chairman confirmed that Trump's not under investigation. That was Charles Grassley. Trump retaliates on Twitter. Finally, he's got to do something. Not getting defended by anybody else. The hosts over at The View are accusing the president now of treason. Wow. And getting away with that. ABC, are you proud of your show, The View?
Oh, you said that.
Just feels like a coup. First, the whole Justice Department, everybody got gutted. All of the things got gutted. And it just, it just feels, and he's got all of the generals. It just feels kind of creepy.
He's speaking to the Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov and Ambassador Kislyak, who is the one who's the guy.
They go into the trees. I can't really listen to it for more than 10 seconds. I can't take it anymore. And I somebody's got to fight back. I guess that's my role in life now. I'll do it because I don't like the lying and the character assassination. I don't like the misogynism against Ivanka and Melania. I don't like the viciousness, the vitriol. Maxine Waters, we're fiddling while Rome is burning and Trump needs to be impeached again. Nobody pays attention to the Bangladesh prime minister. Yeah, Clinton personally pressured her to aid the Clinton Foundation despite ethics laws. Hello? Investigation? Anybody paying attention over there? Anybody at all? Nobody pays attention. Let's see. U.S. employment claims at the lowest level since 1988. I don't think anybody's talked about that or the fact that health care is moving forward in the Senate, according to my inside sources, or that Trump launched a commission to investigate voter fraud. That'd be nice if we had truth and honesty in our elections. There's no fidelity to the truth anymore. The media is running wild. And you got this cabal. I've noticed it on Twitter. You got all of the media. You got the New York Times, the CNN people, the MSNBC people. They all the Politico people, they all tweet each other, and they all retweet each other's pieces. If you retweet mine, I'll retweet yours. If you like me, I'll like you. And it's like one big, huge media groupthink that exists out there now. I think poor Joe Concha is the only independent media guy in the entire country right now. Eric Wemple over at the Washington Post wants me dead and off the air. Hates me. I don't even know why I've ever given that idiot the time of day. Why do I give these people the time of day? I think it's hilarious that the media is going wild. There may be tapes of his conversations with Comey. And I think that's really, really funny. That would drive the media insane. Oh, that's a veiled threat. No, it's not. It's Trumpy and funny. And in the midst of this insanity, I think somebody needs to be funny. You know, we could turn America into California, where you got a massive tax hike on cars and gasoline. Do you know how much it is? $52.4 billion transportation package. Like, oh my gosh. Only one Republican favored this stupid bill. And now they're trying to get rid of him. You know, you'd think we'd have enough problems in the world. Mike Pence acknowledged what we've been saying for years, and that is Christian genocide going on around the world. Nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to talk about the jobless claim plunged the lowest level in 28 years. Why would we talk about that? We'd have to give Trump credit. By the way, Sessions reversed Obama's soft on crime sentencing policy. Good, we'll enforce the laws. Trump ICE agents are carrying out raids against illegal alien gangs. That's not going to get any. That's not going to get any promotion. Told you a little bit of a story yesterday. There was more details today in Investor's Business Daily about Aetna blaming Obamacare as they hike rates, and Aetna's bailing out completely next year in terms of the Obamacare exchanges. Well, we can't talk about that. Was Trump's Comey tape really a threat? No, it wasn't a threat. It's pretty clear, while Comey himself probably didn't personally leak it to the press, he certainly wasn't too interested in finding out who the leakers were. In other words, Comey's going out there and defending Comey. Again, he's going to be an MSNBC contributor in a week. Then you got fake news Democratic media is consumed with outrage over this decision. A poll finds that 2/3 of the voting public thinks it's no big deal because they understand presidents should have the right to pick their own people. And FBI agents have accused Comey of, in the Daily Caller, of obstructing the Hillary email investigation. I've talked to guys myself that have told me that. Got a Democratic senator investigating Trump's Russia connection as a multi-million dollar Russian investment. Mark Warner, over $80 million he's worth, by the way. In case you're interested, and he has a stock in a Russian search engine that's worth $6.75 million. And by the way, the Trump tax returns show no Russia income. Oh, well, let's get the rest of the tax returns. There is no end to this madness.
He's a showboat. He's a grandstander. The FBI has been in turmoil. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that. You take a look at the FBI a year ago. It was in virtual turmoil less than a year ago. It hasn't recovered from that.
Monday, you met with the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein.
Right.
Did you ask for a recommendation?
What I did is I was going to fire Comey. My decision. It was not.
You had made the decision before they came in the room.
I was going to fire Comey. There's no good time to do it, by the way.
Because in your letter you said I accepted their recommendation.
Yeah, well,
so you had already made the decision.
I was going to fire regardless of recommendation.
So there was really room.
He made a recommendation. He's highly respected. Very good guy. Very smart guy. The Democrats like him. The Republicans like him. He made a recommendation. But regardless of recommendation, I was going to fire Comey.
What you said a moment ago about supporting the idea of investigation, a lot of people would find it hard to believe that the man who just said that tweeted very recently, it's a total hoax. It's a taxpayer charade.
Well, I think that looking into me and the campaign, look, I have nothing to do. This was set up by the Democrats. There is no collusion between me and my campaign and the Russians. The other thing is the Russians did not affect the vote. And everybody seems to think that.
There is an investigation underway, though, an FBI investigation. Is that a charade?
Well, I don't know if it's an FBI or if it's there's so many investigations. I don't know if it's an FBI investigation or if it's a Congress, if it's the Senate.
Well, James Comey testified there was an FBI investigation.
Yeah, but I think they're also helping the House and the Senate. So you probably have FBI, but you have House, you have Senate. They have other investigations.
But when you... To be clear, you believe it would have been better to keep in place an FBI director who you said had no credibility to oversee this investigation than to find someone who you think would be a better choice?
No, but I believe the president thought that. Don't forget, you're talking about what some Democrats said, what I said, but don't forget, he was the president. The president supported him. He had confidence in him. It was his within his power. And
but you
his
said he had no credibility, so it would seem to make sense that you should get
absolutely.
Rid of
him. No. Under investigation, this president basically has interfered with an investigation where he may be implicated. That's outrageous, and that's why we're having so much of a conversation about it today. Everybody is talking about it because this is highly unusual.
The bottom line is that you think an FBI director without credibility would have been best served in this position
to try to pursue this investigation. I think if the president had fired him when he first came in, he would not have to be in a position now where he's trying to make up a story
Understood.
About why. It does not meet the smell test.
Understood. So if Hillary Clinton had won the White House, would you have recommended that she fire FBI Director James Comey?
Well, let me tell you something. If she had won the White House, I believe that given what he did to her and what he tried to do, she should have fired him. Yes.
So she should have fired him, but he shouldn't have fired him. This is why I'm confused.
No, you're not confused. If the president is implicated in an investigation, the president of the United States, who has a history of firing people who get close to, you know, him and his allies, like Flynn and like Miss Yates, he will fire them if he believes somehow they're getting too close to him in these investigations.
All right, that was the president in his interview. Hour 2, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number with Lester Holt, NBC Conspiracy News, and talking about Comey, the grandstander, the showboater, and he made the decision, and the president saying, no, no collusion between me, my campaign, and the Russians, and, of course, Maxine Waters, who just goes deeper into, we've got to get rid of the president tomorrow, and impeachment is coming. And we played on this program, and the president went on a nice tweet storm earlier today. And, you know, Clapper himself, we played it repeatedly. And virtually everyone else knows that it's a witch hunt. There's no collusion. Clapper, why would he say it? Why would Admiral Rogers say it? And then he's messing with James Comey. Well, I hope there are no tapes of our conversations before he starts leaking to the press. Now, that's got to get in Comey's head because Comey now is out for some kind of vindication. And I'm sure he'll be a contributor on MSNBC any day now. And anyway, maybe the best thing to do would be to cancel all press briefings and hand out written responses for the sake of accuracy. I like that idea. Maybe stop with the press briefings. Who cares? Poor Sean Spicer sits there. I was watching, I guess, who's the person on Saturday Night Live that plays Spicy, as they call him? Melissa McCarthy? All right, apparently they're taping for Sunday, and there's Sean Spicer on a moving podium down the streets of New York. And I know Sean Spicer has a good sense of humor about it, but... Anyway, lots of things happening. Nobody ever talks about the success of the president. Maybe you should start tweeting out every day, okay, here are my accomplishments. Here's what we did today. Here's what we did this week. Drive the press crazy with that, because this is not where the media wants to go. Anyway, as we get into the legal aspects once again about what happened with James Comey and the necessity for this, we have Sherrilyn Harley LeBon is a lawyer, former senior counsel with the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee and contributing fellow at the National Center for Policy Analysis in Dallas, and Emily Shires at Bustle.com. What is Bustle.com?
Bustle is the largest digital platform targeting millennial women.
Okay, that's pretty cool. And
it has its moments.
Well, nobody's asked me for a contributing article on Bustle.com.
Do you want to write for
I've never been asked if I want to be interviewed by Bustle.com. Sherrilyn, have you been asked?
No, I'd love to write for Bustle.
Yeah.
You should. I'd love to.
It's great. I'm glad. Are you going to pay her?
I can talk to our team about it. I wish I had such seniority.
Oh,
so if I,
yeah,
if, so you can't even assure me I'm going to get paid to write on the website. I'll write on my own website for free if I'm going to work for free.
I don't know if we can pay you enough. That might be the bigger question.
What's that?
I don't know if we can pay you enough. That's the bigger question. I don't know if we can meet the going rate.
I'll tell you what. If you pay Sherilyn, I'll put a comment in Sherilyn's column so it makes it more interesting.
Yay.
How's that?
One?
Good agent. That's a
great
idea.
John. I love the idea of spreading the wealth around and helping as conservatives get to be rich conservatives. I like that.
Thank you. Sean.
Emily, any issues you have with Comey's firing? I mean, you do know that Hillary committed multiple felonies as it relates to the email server scandal. And you do know that the money that went back, she signed off personally on the Uranium One deal, that just reeks of corruption, doesn't it? When the people involved in the deal that got her to turn over 20% to Putin and Russia, that's a problem. And you do know that there was a crime committed in terms of leaking intelligence against General Flynn. I don't think you're doubting those things, and he has done virtually nothing, right?
I am doubting all those things, and I also find the firing of Comey very suspicious, and I'm eager to see what probes into this matter will uncover. The timing certainly seems disconcerting.
I got the talking points.
Also very disconcerting. It seems to
Emily, I don't,
everything the White House has said, what Rod Rosenstein has said, it also raises questions about
Emily, you got to focus here, because those are all the talking points that everybody in the media, my audience doesn't want to hear talking points. This is what I'm trying to get you to think deeper about this. It is illegal, is it not, to have a server in a mom-and-pop shop bathroom closet, if you're the Secretary of State.
Comey did not seem to be anything worth indicting Hillary Clinton for. So I'm going by the FBI director.
All right, so the mishandling of classified information and top-secret information and special access program information is a crime. As a matter of fact, the term is gross negligence. Do you think putting special access program top-secret classified information on a server in a mom-and-pop shop bathroom shows gross negligence?
Look, I'm not an expert on it, but Comey was, and he deemed it not worthy of indicting Clinton.
Okay.
And, you know, Donald Trump could have fired him right off the bat.
I know, and you wouldn't have supported it then.
But
you tried to give the guy a chance, and now he's paying.
Just doesn't really hold water.
My next question, I'll ask Sherilyn question.
Okay. Can I just say something to Emily's point about firing him off the bat? Actually, from a human resources perspective, I don't think he should have fired Comey right off the bat, because Comey doesn't report to the president. He reports to the deputy attorney general. In a normal course of business, whether it's government agencies or corporations, you have a new boss that comes in. The new boss comes in. He assesses his team, and he assesses whether his team is doing the job that they're supposed to do. This is exactly what Rod Rosenstein did. He's come in. He's just been confirmed a few weeks ago. He's come in. He's assessing the department. And look what he did. He laid out a very plausible and factional and rational memo as to why he is firing Director Comey. Makes perfect sense to me. He lays it out. He said, Mr. Comey has committed several mistakes. He lays out what those mistakes are. He says, this is how Mr. Comey has mishandled the email investigation. All right? He said that Mr. Comey said that there was a conflict of interest with Attorney General Loretta Lynch. Well, there's a process in place when there's a suspected conflict of interest. There's a recusal process. This man didn't follow that. He said also, Comey laid out his version of facts for the news media. That's not his job to do that. It's the Federal Bureau of Investigations, not prosecutions. It wasn't Comey's job to make a decision whether whether they should prosecute this case or not. And finally, in response to this whole situation that happened at the congressional hearing, you know, the goal of a criminal investigation is really not to announce your thoughts at a press conference. The goal is to determine whether you have enough evidence to justify a federal criminal prosecution. So again, boom, boom, boom. Comey has made all of these mistakes. Rod Rosenstein, his new boss, says, you know what? I don't like what's happened here. And
part of the problem with that is that Rod Rosenstein has threatened to resign.
Guys, I've got to take a break here. Just hang on one second. All All right, as we continue, Hour 2, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN. If you want to be a part of the program, at the bottom of the half hour, we're going to get to your calls. Also, we'll check in briefly with our friend Ray Arroyo. He's such a good guy, and we'll explain that. All right, I think, Emily, you were responding to Sherilyn as it relates to, look, I've got the law, and for you to say, well, Comey says she didn't violate the law, well, that's not actually his decision in the end. He's supposed
exactly.
to gather evidence. And number two,
but we're talking about the reasons about why he would be fired. And increasingly, the evidence is that it was prompted by his investigation to the Trump campaign's ties to Russia.
Okay, Emily, I'm not finished my question. The evidence is overwhelming and incontrovertible that she committed multiple felonies, that she was grossly negligent in the handling of classified information. She destroyed classified information and the questions around the Clinton Foundation, et cetera, et cetera. And we know that Michael Flynn, General Flynn, was a victim of a felony and he did nothing in all three cases. So tell me, what is...
I don't know if we know that.
We do know it. Do you even know any of the laws?
Michael Flynn is in the clear.
There's
a lot of concerns about Michael Flynn.
Okay. Is it illegal and a violation of the Espionage Act to leak unmask surveillance to the media? The answer is yes. That happened.
Absolutely.
So that's a felony under the Espionage Act. Are you aware of that?
I am honestly, and
no,
I don't mean
not.
This to sound glib, confused about who you are talking about.
General Michael Flynn, the Washington Post, got unfiltered, unmasked, classified information leaked about the general. That is illegal and a violation of the Espionage Act.
What we know is that he talked to an official and didn't disclose it to the vice president or actively misled the vice president.
All you do is watch CNN and MSNBC. You don't have an independent thought on this except the talking points, do you?
I would beg to differ on that, but I don't know if there's any convincing.
You don't even know what the law. You don't even know what the law is regarding the Espionage Act. You don't even know what the laws are regarding the handling of classified material.
I'm not sure that you do, to be totally honest.
I have listed them on this program and on TV every day and night for years.
Yeah, the question is not whether the Washington Post is violating it. There are serious concerns about how Michael Flynn acted and what money he took from foreign governments.
Rachel Maddow point.
We don't even need to talk about Michael Flynn because people are really getting caught up in the optics and the side conversations about why this man was fired. But all you need to do is stick to the facts. It's this simple. His boss, Rod Rosenstein, lost faith in him, lost confidence, and as such, he decided to make a management change. And that is his right of doing so because Comey reports to him. And he laid out several mistakes that Comey has made, and he's made his decision. So people can quibble about the optics, but the bottom line here is, from a human resource legal perspective, he did the right thing. He's the new boss. He said, I got problems with what this guy has done. I've laid out all the several reasons why I think he's made mistakes. And guess what? It's my decision to fire him, and that's what I've done. He sent a memo to his boss, AG Sessions, and also that was passed on to Trump. And look it. He made
all right.
the decision.
We got a roll, but I appreciate both of you being with us. I really do. Oh, it's so frustrating, this topic, because the media is just the Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. I honestly can't take it anymore. My head's going to pop. Good thing it's a Friday. We've got our news roundup information overload and our Friday Florida Georgia Line concert series coming up because I need it. And we'll continue. Hi, 25 now till the top of the hour. We'll have wide open phones this half hour. But first, it's an honor, a privilege, a pleasure to just check in with my good friend Ray Arroyo, who's a New York Times bestseller, journalist, producer, and he's the news director, lead anchor at EWTN News and the news division of Eternal Word Television Network. And the second Will Wilder book in the series that he has is The Lost Staff of Wonders was released. And how are you, my friend? Good to talk to you.
Sean, I'm delighted to be with you.
I can't believe you and Laura Ingraham are as good of friends as you are, because neither she nor I are anywhere near the Catholic Christian that you are. I don't know why you would hang out with me or her.
You two keep me in line. What are you talking about? Look,
what do you mean we keep you in line?
I always tell people. I
look at you
Sean,
and I feel Catholic guilt.
Catholic.
I take one look at you and I, there's Ray.
Ray. I always tell people, Sean, I'm a practicing Catholic because I'm just getting good at it. I'm just trying, you know? So you guys, you keep me honest more than I keep you honest, I promise.
Okay, maybe in her case, yes, and me, definitely not. But anyway, it's good to hear from you. Congratulations on all your success. And so, you know, there is this ongoing battle. Now, this president did take a pretty big step in helping religious institutions so that they would be able to go politically. The president signed this executive order that allows these, you know, places like Liberty University or schools or churches and church groups that they can now have freedom of speech and they're not going to be challenged. Their tax exempt status won't be challenged.
Exactly. No, I was there when he signed the executive order, Sean. And, you know, a lot, there are a lot of religious communities to say, look, this doesn't mean anything to us. And there are even some conservatives, intellectuals, Catholics, and non-Catholics I know who say, you know, this thing doesn't do very much. It's vague. I think they miss the point. A, it allows the churches to have an open throat and to weigh in on moral issues that touch in the political without fear. Now, maybe the IRS wouldn't have taken their status away, but who cares? It empowers them to speak out louder, and we need that. But the other important thing that nobody has picked up on, Sean, is that the president gave Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, the freedom to look at all the rules and regulations throughout the federal government and to write new rules that have a sensitivity to religious liberty and freedom. That is a major sleeping gun at the middle of this executive order that no one wants to talk about or has talked about. Watch that in the coming days. Jeff Sessions will do incredible things for religious liberty, I think, across the government.
You know, one of the things that interested me when I saw you last and you were telling me about this series and this book that you put out, and it's a second in a series, you know, one of the things that you know and I know is that kids don't read anymore. Boys, for whatever reason, read the least amount of it. Well, I don't think for any reason at all. I mean, if I'm a kid, I'd much prefer to play Pac-Man in my day or, you know, a Galaxy or whatever that game was called and pinball. And, you know, now our kids play Xbox. Yeah, Asteroids. That was the game. And now our kids play all these other games and they have Xbox and PlayStation and every game imaginable. And I forget what you call Call of Duty my son loves and all the basketball and football games imaginable. And he's really good at it. I mean, I guess if I have a choice of reading or hanging out with my buddies playing Xbox, I think I'm going to play Xbox. But, you know, the reality is 67% of fourth graders nationally are, you know, reading at, what, below their grade level.
Below proficient. And, you know, this should give us all pause. People look at that and go, oh, well, so 67% of kids are not reading up to their level. Do you know what local administrators and municipalities in Idaho and California, in huge swaths of the United States, used to build prisons? They use as a barometer to determine how many prisons to add in the next 10 years. They look at fourth grade reading scores. So when we have 67%...
I'd never heard that before. Are you serious?
Absolutely.
And that is a key indicator and predictor of how many, what percentage of kids will be in jail?
You got it. Sean, this is one of the reasons I've decided to write for kids and I started the Will Wilder series, because I knew boys particularly were reluctant readers. And if a child does not read proficiently by fourth grade, two-thirds of them will end up in jail or on welfare. So why are we spending millions of dollars building prisons for our kids when we could be teaching them how to read and live and be productive members of society and citizens capable of guiding their own destiny? That's what we should be doing. And look, I feel blessed. Over the last 2 years, I've been on the road. I've spoken to hundreds of thousands of kids about this series. I've watched them get excited about a story and get lost in it with the Will Wilder series. And look, this is sort of my Harry Potter. It's Indiana Jones meets Dennis the Menace in The Exorcist, okay? It's a supernatural fantasy adventure for kids. And what I love about it, Sean, I work in real antiquities, historical items and relics that you can find in museums and libraries and churches around the world. And it also is not just a kid. You know, most of the Harry Potter, these other series, it's an orphan or an abandoned kid and his friends who take on the world. Will Wilder goes on the adventure with his entire family. He has a mother and father, a brother and sister, a great aunt Lucille, who's his sidekick. And I love the idea that family is the greatest adventure. And I have half of my audience for this book are 18 and older. I have parents reading it, college kids, aunts and uncles. So it's become what I wanted it to be, a family adventure and a family event, because it touches on the things that matter, how the decisions of our forefathers and foremothers shape our own path. And that, I think, for a child is such an important lesson. Your elders, you need your elders so you can get to the future that I think nature and God has intended.
Well, congratulations. I've always had great admiration for you. And again, New York Times bestselling author, and it's called Will Wilder, The Lost Staff of Wonders. And as he said, Indiana Jones meets, you know, what, Dennis the Menace and the Da Vinci Code and the Exorcist. So,
yeah.
All right, I like
something
it.
Like that.
Well, when I was Dennis the Menace, I think I probably could have used an exorcism or two at the time. But all right, thank you, Ray. Always good to talk to you. We'll put it up on Hannity.com, Amazon.com, bookstores everywhere. 800-941-SEAN, our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. All right, let's go to Jamie. Is in Anaheim out in California listening to KEIB. What's going on, Jamie? How are you?
Hi, Sean. Great to talk with you. Thank you for taking my call. I think Mr. Trump is missing a huge opportunity to turn this around on the Democrats and the embedded bureaucrats, because he talks about draining the swamp. So he needs to refer to these people as the swamp creatures that are now, when you drain the swamp, the swamp creatures get exposed and they start gnashing their teeth and stomping their feet. Meanwhile, he's actually trying to help everyday Americans. Like, I look at Chuck Schumer, and I he just looks like a swamp creature. Nancy Pelosi.
No.
You know, there's just the swamp.
Well, there are Republican swamp figures, too. Look, I'll give you an example. I was, you know, I just decided late today, there's this idiot on, where is he, National Review Online. He was one of these dopey never-Trumper people. And, you know, I mean, he used every possible insult that he could ever think, dim and dumb and no self-respect and all this other stuff. And I'm sitting here, and I was going to go full on Twitter war with the guy, and then I looked at him and I just thought to myself, I actually mentioned this to Linda, I said, I can't think of a single significant thing that this person has ever said or written in his life that has impacted anybody. And then after that, I just said, he's not worth my time. And a friend, I saw an article by Joel Pollack about the guy, and I just tweeted that out. But my point is, we wouldn't have Neil Gorsuch with these overeducated idiots. They don't understand the plight of people in poverty and food stamps out of the labor force. If they had their way, Neil Gorsuch wouldn't be on the court. We wouldn't be ending Obama-era regulations. We wouldn't be moving towards energy independence. We wouldn't have a chance of protecting our borders with a wall or 15% corporate tax or repatriation or none of these things. And, you know, that's the swamp. You know, I'm thinking, this is a swamp guy. By the way, doesn't his picture on Twitter make him look like a swamp guy, Linda? He looks like...
Oh, yeah, he's a lovely individual.
And you have to admit my comment off air was hilarious, but I can't use it, of course.
No, you can't say that on air.
But you have to admit it was funny.
I think a lot of things you say off air are funny.
All right.
But the FCC doesn't.
All right, Jamie, last word. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I said, well, you know, he could come out and basically say, look, well, the swamp creatures are busy looking for unicorns. You know, I'm actually trying to help you. And then just blow them off each time. Go, oh, yep, another swamp creature.
Yeah, you know? Well said. You know what? I want to drain the swamp, too. But the swamp also includes those idiots at NRO. You know, you think about all those never-Trumpers. No Neil Gorsuch. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine that thinks that there might be another Supreme Court retirement. And now that the Republicans will use 51 and you don't have to worry about cloture and you don't have to worry about the filibuster anymore, he can put as many great people on the Supreme Court as openings become available. I mean, is that not enough? Right there. Eliminating regulation? Right there. You know, cutting taxes? Right there. Building the border wall? Right there. Trying to vet refugees? He even referred to it as a, you know, or one of these guys as a Muslim man. I don't really even have time for these people anymore. And it's fun to be involved in Twitter fights, but I'm so busy. It's like, why am I responding to somebody that has nobody, has said nothing of impact, whose name, if I mentioned here, 98% of you wouldn't even know right now. And if I mentioned that he would be, his name would be heard today more than it's ever been in his entire life. So what's wrong with me, Linda? Why do I always want to punch back so hard? And I started to, and then I stopped.
Yeah, but I think you know, it was good. You showed restraint and you showed a little wisdom, because honestly, talking about him is going to be the most memorable thing, anything, you know, that's ever happened to him.
And I've done this to a few people. I mean, people I've made notorious for crying out loud by talking about him.
He's not worth your time, boss.
Boss. Okay, thank you, boss.
You're welcome.
First of all, all right, do we have time for another call?
We have time for a very short call.
All right, let's go to Big Time AJ, Houston, Texas. What's going on, baby?
Big Time Sean Hannity. Hey, first of all, I love Linda. I love her to death.
Why are you sucking up to Linda?
The feeling is mutual, my friend.
Whoa. Why are you sucking up to Linda?
Now, wait a minute, Sean. You know that AJ was mine first. I was friends with him first, many, many moons ago.
Okay, people have to get through you to get to me.
Correct.
Okay, so he sucked up enough to you, and now he's going through the same pattern of sucking up to you, but he doesn't need to suck up to you anymore.
Well, no, what happened was there was a lot of things he wanted to say that weren't appropriate for air. So I let him get all that out of his system with me. We had our non-FCC conversation, and then he goes on the air with you. It's perfect.
That's right. Oh, real quick. Hey, Shot, to your wife, everybody, happy Mother's Day to them, and God bless them all.
Thank you, buddy.
Now to the idiot. Now, Trump needs to not just drain the swamp, but he needs to find out who's leaking in his party. It's some people around him that's not doing good things, and that's what he needs to find out what's going on. And first of all, we tired of all these liberals with the Russian dealer. When is Congress, when are they going to get any work done? Trump got papers all on his desk, working his butt off. Obama's desk was clean. Didn't get nothing done. When is the Democrats going to do anything? Hey, the economy doing good. They ain't talking about how the job numbers are, the oil is working. Everybody's getting back to work. The unemployment that went down. People not on welfare hardly anymore.
No.
Hey, where you at, media?
Forget it. Hey, listen, it's just a lost, pathetic cause. We're actually implementing a fake news, nightly fake news update every night on Hannity, and we'll start it tonight, so you don't want to miss that big time. All right, buddy? Have a great weekend. We love you.
You do great job, Eddie, big time.
You want to suck up to Linda again before you go, so you'll get through the next time, or what?
No, we got it done before we talk to you. We're good.
Before we talk to me. All right. Thank you. News Roundup Information Overload Hour on the Sean Hannity Show. Now we have, you're going to meet a woman, a former Muslim who lived under Sharia for 30 years in Cairo. Pam Geller coming up at the top of the next hour as well. And the City University of New York, well, Ann Coulter can't speak at Berkeley, but anyway, they invited an extreme speaker. SUNY City of New York, University in New York, has invited a Sharia-compliant believer, apparently. And anyway, we'll get to that at the top of the next hour. Also, Ainsley Earhart has a military charity she's going to tell us about that goes through this weekend, and an opportunity to get her book and help a great cause. So we'll get to that. All right, let's get to Mary is in Huntington, New York, on Long Island, our flagship in New York, the all-new AM 710 WOR. How are you?
Hey, Sean, it's good to talk to you. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you today?
I am fine. And I'm really psyched about that Midler invitation that you have out there. I'm wondering if you've heard back from her.
You know, I'm actually looking as you speak. I'm on Twitter, and I honestly can't see. I don't know if Bette likes me or not. I have no idea because we haven't heard from her.
How could she not like you? Come on.
You know, I do like the fact, I really got to be honest here, maybe it's a sick, twisted, ugly part of me, and maybe I just like to fight too much, but the fact that, you know, she went out there, Hannity says Comey's a national embarrassment because of his erratic behavior. What about Obama? What about Trump? And I wrote, hey, Bette, how about a one-on-one debate, Fox News Channel, do it for charity. The topic is, did Hillary Rodham Clinton break laws and lie to the American people? You know?
And she's in New York because she's doing
exactly. The
show. She's got to have a dark night. You do the show on the dark, you know, when the show is dark. And I mean, what is she afraid of?
I have no idea. Look, I'm just a harmless guy. I'm not going to be I'm not disrespectful. I guarantee you she can't win the debate. I'll tell you one way she could win. If she starts breaking out into song, I can't keep up. If she starts singing, go ahead, Linda. Linda, sing it from a distance. Go ahead. Go.
From a distance, you look like my friend.
All right, stop. It's kumbaya. Ugh.
Now let's all hold hands together.
I can't stand kumbaya songs. We'll fire it up in the next hour with our Friday Florida Georgia Line concert series. What's the one that they said the mother-son song at weddings?
That's Wind Beneath My Wings.
Sing that a little.
Because you are the wind beneath my wings.
I hate those songs.
Sing it with me.
No. No.
All right, then go to commercial.
All right, 800-941-SEAN. All right, see what you did here? See what happened? All right, news roundup, information overload, and we'll have our debate on the speaker at the controversial Sharia-supporting speaker at City University of New York. Ainsley Earhart stops by, and a lot of your calls coming up.
Now, you have a new goal, which is a lose-proof election strategy for 2018. Can you tell me what it is so I can co-opt it?
I'm not going to give you all the details, Donald, because then you're going to share it with your little Republican friends. But basically,
we're all taking ourselves to the polls, and we're going to take out those who want to take our health insurance away, who want to take our reproductive rights away, who want to take away the rights of Muslims to worship freely. We're just going to take out the bad guys, you know, drain the swamp.
All right, that was a very strong Sharia activist, Linda Sarsour. Now, why she is in the news is for a couple of reasons. She is now apparently speaking at the City University of New York on May the 25th, and there's now a protest that is emerging from her because she's asking fellow progressives, liberals, to recognize Sharia law, and others are now calling her as a commencement speaker too bigoted to have this position. Now, she says, I want to emphasize that Linda's statements on social media at rallies, and Linda, she owns them, said a member of the New York Council from Queens. They have a history of anti-Semitism, anti-Zionism, and in the past she has tweeted, nothing is creepier than Zionism, has said that anti-Islamist writers Brigitte Gabriel and Ayaan Hirsi Ali deserve an ass-whipping, and she wishes that she could have their vaginas taken away for their opposition of Sharia law, which she supports. Now, apparently, Sarsour and many progressives, you know, are insisting that she is a victim. Joining us is Nanya Darwish, who is the author of Wholly Different, Why I Chose Biblical Values Over Islamic Values. Former Muslim, lived under Sharia for 30 years in Cairo and in Gaza. Pam Geller is the president of the American Freedom Defense Initiative and the editor and publisher of Atlas Shrugged, and wrote the book, The Post-American Presidency, Obama's War on America and Stopping the Islamization of America. What can you tell us about this woman beyond the despicable things that she supports and says?
Linda Sarsour has earned a reputation, Sean, as one of the country's most virulent anti-Semitic, anti-Israel activists. She's called Netanyahu a waste of a human being. She supports the Sharia in Saudi Arabia. I mean, listen, I'm a free speech activist. I'm all for free speech. And Linda Sarsour can speak and does speak all the time on college campuses where My colleagues like Noni, who was, uninvited from Princeton and Yale, and Milo, who will be speaking at our protest on May 25th, they burned down Berkeley. We can't speak. She speaks freely. But to choose her as the keynote speaker for CUNY, City University of New York, a taxpayer-funded university, okay, you mean they couldn't find anybody better? This is the norming of Jew hatred. This is the norming of evil. This is the norming of anti-Semitism, and people need to stand up against it. It's just shocking to me that this woman would be, quote-unquote, leading the feminists in the post-Trump, presidential win, and everyone's wearing these vagina hats, when actually those little, pointy things, it looks more like they were FGM hats, because Linda Sarsour is up there, female genital mutilation. She supports the Sharia.
What was your life, Nani, in Cairo and in Gaza, living under Sharia?
Well, that surgery happened to my mother. Thank goodness my mother did not do it to us. Sharia is totally anti-woman, but it's not just anti-woman. It's also anti-family happiness. The male is supposed to go do jihad. And who stands in the way for the man, if he's a happily married man, he doesn't want to go to do jihad. So women are the have to be put in their place. They have to be stepped on in order for men to go to heaven, because they are tempted with much more beautiful women in heaven than their wives. So the traditional biblical one man, one woman type of family is rejected by Islam, and it's also coincidentally rejected by secular feminists in the West. And that's why secular feminism and Islamic pro-Sharia feminism, symbolized by Linda Sarsour, they have converged. They have mutual interests. We've clearly seen that in recent women's protests that were anti-Trump protests, we've seen Gloria Steinem standing side by side with Linda Sarsour. This is the new feminist movement, which they want place women with head covers as the victims, and place women who have lived under the oppression of Sharia, like myself, as they shouldn't be speaking. We are shunned, and women with head covers who support Sharia, who support female genital mutilation, they are put on a pedestal in on college campuses, and the secular feminists will never in the West will never fight Islamic Sharia. They will not fight Islam. And there is a reason why, Sean, they are not going to fight Islam or Sharia, because they have the same enemy. They have already convinced the West that the impediment for women's rights were Western patriarchal culture, biblical values, and that women's rights are hampered by the Bible. And now, if they touch the Quran, if they touch Islam and Sharia, then their whole theory about the oppression of women in the West by biblical values will collapse, which should be collapsed. And I spoke a lot about that in my book.
She's a leader, Sean, of the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanction Movement, which is the economic boycott of Israel. Now, the Germans employed the same tactics. Preceding Kristallnacht, the Nazis had called for Germans to boycott Jewish-owned businesses. BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanction, is, you know, this economic boycott of German Jews is the antecedent to the BDS movement. This is absolutely no different. And that a school who, by the way, population is over 25% Jewish, that they would have her as a speaker, plus they would have it her address on Shavuot, which is a Jewish holiday when God gave the Jewish people the Torah. God gave the Jewish people law. They're having it on that day. Could you imagine if CUNY had commencement ceremonies on Ramadan or Eid? They'd be burning down the school, and the talking heads in the liberal media would say, well, you know, they shouldn't have had it on
Ramadan.
But
she's not only speaking.
They should have burned down the school, like they blamed us in Garland, Texas. Same thing.
But she's not just speaking at the City University of New York commencement address. She's also apparently at Dartmouth College, and they announced that they are, I guess, having a lecture in an evening with Linda Sarsour. Now, yes. I mean, but you know what it's like. I don't think you would even make it on a college campus for 13 seconds without being shouted down, or the same thing with Ann Coulter or any prominent conservative for that matter.
And we don't get invited. We are blacklisted. Noni was disinvited. The last time I spoke was at Brooklyn College, and if you want to see hell breaking loose, go to YouTube, Pamela Geller, Brooklyn College, and you will see an absolute zoo, a pandemonium. It's incredible. There is absolutely no diversity of opinion, no free exchange of ideas. Conservatives are not welcomed. And at the same time, in concert, you know, understand something, Dartmouth invited her in the wake of the controversy of the invitation to keynote the commencement. Now, you never see the right do that. You never see the right get behind a figure that is being targeted, smeared, and defamed by the left. The left circles the wagons. The right assembles a circular firing squad. You ever notice that?
Yeah. What is your reaction, Noni Darwish, to some of the things that she has done and said? As Pam pointed out, she has supported this boycott against Israel, and saying nothing's creepier than Zionism, and said anti-Islamist writers like Brigitte Gabriel. Brigitte Gabriel has lived under Islam and has just told about her life and her experience, and she speaks out about radical Islamists. Or poor Ayan Hirsi Ali. I mean, we've told her story on the air here. Didn't she suffer from genital mutilation, Pam?
She did. I mean, and she tells a compelling and heartbreaking story in her book, They Call Me Infidel. Just as in Noni's books, she describes life, you know, her father, Noni's father was a Shaheed. I mean, and that this woman is saying that Linda Sarsour, this bigot, this hate monger, is tweeting out that Ayan should have her vagina cut off. And
Actually, I am scared of Linda Sarsour, because when I lived in Egypt, women who were put on a pedestal and who are honored in the media were always the head-covered, scarfed women. And we who objected to Sharia and oppression of women were put down. And I come to America and nobody listens to me except people like Pamela Geller and the Robert Spencer.
Well, here's a question, though, I have. I mean, if she is talking about Brigitte Gabriel and I and Hirsi Ali, two people that I know, love, and respect, and wanting to give them an ass-whipping and wishes she could have their vaginas taken away because they oppose Sharia law, I would think just on issues involving violent rhetoric, they wouldn't be able to talk. Liberals wouldn't want them to talk.
They don't want us to talk. People like me are disinvited. I'm received with a lot of hostility in college campuses, but also a lot of love and appreciation. Thank goodness for the anti-jihad movement in America that is being squashed and slandered.
But that's the thing. Nobody cares what faith or religion you are, but if you support radical Islamists and the abuse and mistreatment of women, philosophy and ideology, a practice under reality, the practice of women under Sharia is beyond oppressive, beyond anything we in Western society understand, or the killing of gays and lesbians, like in Saudi Arabia and other countries, or the persecution of Christians and Jews. You can't build a temple or a church in Saudi Arabia. We'll continue, though, on the other side. All right, another brutal week is in the bank, and hopefully have some good plans for this weekend. It's always an honor and a privilege and a pleasure to welcome back to the program the co-host of the number one cable morning news show in America, Ainsley Earhart, is back with us. And now, you do radio once a week with Brian on Brian's show, right?
I do. Hey, Sean.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Long time no see, but I get to see you in the morning, so I feel like I'm in touch with you guys all the time. And how's everything going?
Thank you. Good. I watch your show every night. I try to take a nap during the day so I can stay up and watch. You're doing a great job.
These are incredible times we're living in, and maybe we'll get to that in a second. All right, so you wrote your first children's book. It became a number one New York Times bestseller for weeks and weeks and weeks, and that was called Take Heart, My
take
Child.
Take Heart, My Child.
All right, so you've written a follow-up, and this, it's called Through Your Eyes. And it's about lessons that you've learned. Now, you have a daughter that's, what, 2 years old now? Or
she's about a year and a half. She's 18 months.
Okay. And so you're sort of like doing a series with her. And you sent me the other day the graphic to this, and it's really amazing. What is the difference between the first book and the second book? And I know you're doing something special for Mother's Day and for the military. Tell us about it.
Well, the first book just happened. And I didn't know the first thing about writing a book. And our viewers and your listeners and all the support has just been wonderful, and it did become a New York Times bestseller, and I was really grateful for that. And then now that I'm a mom, you know, I wrote the book when I was pregnant. Now that I'm a mom, I had all these lists and all these things that I wanted for my child, and you worry before before the baby's born if you're going to be a good parent, as you know, as all parents know, and if you're going to be able to provide a good life for him or for her. And so once you hold that baby, all of that goes out the door and you realize that you're not in control. God is totally in control and you enjoy every single moment. You get to watch a human being see rain for the first time. And I remember my daughter seeing a dog for the very first time and she was squealing with excitement. And I turned around and there was a dog behind me and she loved it. So to witness your own child, a human being, learning all of these things that we take for granted, that you get to witness, you're reminded of how precious life is and how all the things that you worried about are thrown out the window. So that's
it is really true. I mean, if you really see life, and Linda has a young son, Liam. And by the way, maybe Liam and your daughter can get married one day. I don't know. I mean, they're about how old's Liam now?
Great.
He's 21 months.
All right, to perfect age. This is amazing. We can make a prearranged marriage right here on the show. But like I remember, I used to take my kids to the zoo, and I'm the most embarrassing parent on the face of the earth. You know, I think I'm funny, and I'm not. But to a kid seeing a seal, it's the most amazing thing. You ever notice this? Like if your kids, you buy them all these toys, right? Christmas, you spend a fortune. There's a million presents under the tree. Santa Claus brings them. But then in 5 seconds, they're having more fun playing with the wrapping paper than they are the stupid toy.
It's true.
It's amazing what interests them. You spend all this money on the toy, and all they want to play with is your keys.
It's the tissue paper. She loves to rip tissue paper in half. I mean, she thought that was great, and she was especially little. But Linda and I have talked about it. We've sat in your studio before and talked about just the joys of being a parent. It's the most amazing experience. So the books kind of write themselves, and it's been really a fun project for me. And especially I have the
in her room in her nursery. I have a big poster of the front cover of the first book. And to walk into her nursery, they gave that to me, that Simon & Schuster gave me that when the book was released. To hang that up in my daughter's room and to know that, you know, we can grow up in South Carolina and all of our dreams can come true because we live in this great country. And I'm living this great life in New York City. And I have my daughters being raised in the city. And a lot of people don't love the city and would never want to raise their kid here. But for me, the city reminds me of just what I've gone through, the hard work I've gone through to get here, and how my daughter can make it too and can do all of this. So it's been a really fun experience.
I'm going to give you both advice, though. So yeah. Your daughter's a year and a half, and Liam's 21 months old, right? I'm going to give you, stop their growth now, because I have an 18-year-old and a 15-year-old. And what's going to happen is you're going to make the mistake every parent makes. You're going to teach them how to talk, and then they're going to talk back. And then you're going to hear things come flying out of their mouths that's going to send you into a rage. So you might want to stop time now. Linda, in your case, that kid's going to be cursing in a year.
Fantastic.
I know. Everyone talks about the baby years. They don't sleep. Those are supposed to be the hard years. But really, it sounds like you're saying these are the easy years.
Well, I mean, in all honesty, I mean, you love to see your kids grow and advance. And it's just your kids, I find they can frustrate you. My son can get under my skin more than anybody else on this earth.
What about your daughter?
No, she doesn't get under my skin. She can't. All I got to do is say, hey, you know, in that daddy voice, and all goes away in seconds. Well, anyway, so this new book comes out. When does it come out?
Comes out November 7th in the fall, and you can pre-order it now on AinsleyEarhartBooks.com. And so the reason, thank you so much for having me on this week. We wanted to come on because we love our military, and in celebration of Mother's Day on Sunday, Simon & Schuster, who's the publisher, has teamed up with First Book, and they're giving 5,000 of my first book, which is called, I'm about to say Through Your Eyes, which is the second book. It's called Take Heart, My Child. And so if you go on social media, if you go on Instagram, if you go on Facebook, if you go on Twitter, and you hashtag Take Heart, My Child, every single hashtag, up to 5,000 of those, a child in the military is going to get one of these books. And we interviewed someone on Fox and Friends the other day who works for First Book. She grew up in a Navy household, and she was transferred to a different school every few years because her dad was, you know, stationed in different parts of the country or around the world. And she said books were her way just to escape and to forget about the fact that she was in a new school or in a new place. And so First Book is a wonderful organization. They are doing this through Blue Star Families, through United Through Reading, Family Readiness Group, the USO, Toys for Tots, and educators from Department of Defense
schools. That's awesome. But you got to do it now, I guess, before Sunday.
You have to do
it
now, before Sunday.
And it's Take Heart, My Child /hashtag, or what is that?
No, just hashtag Take Heart, My Child.
And if you put it in there, you're going to buy one for the military and their kids as well.
Mm-hmm. Simon Schuster has boxes of these books that are going out to military families, up to 5,000 books. So
that's awesome.
You know, they're spending a lot of money, donating a lot for the military, which is awesome.
Let me ask you this. I mean, so we're both in cable news, and I think that there is an attack, especially on the Fox News Channel, talk radio, to silence or attack anybody that shows any support for this president. Have you felt that as well? Do you see the level of vitriol sort of spilling over into the comments you read or comments you see on social media?
Absolutely. I mean, I consider it hypocrisy. I mean, most people who or Trump supporters are calling it hypocrisy, because you've got people like Chuck Schumer and Harry Reid who are saying these guys need to step down. They don't like James Comey 1 minute, and then as soon as the president fires him, then all of a sudden they love him. So it's so political. It's become so clear and so obvious that it's political, because they can't have it both sides. They can't have both sides. They can't say they hate him and then when he's fired say they love him. It's obvious that anything the president does, they're going against him.
Yeah, and you've interviewed the president and his family. I mean, when you look at the attacks, and his daughter, for example, and I know you interviewed Melania Trump because I was watching, and, you know, I watched the comments about Melania and his daughter Ivanka. Look at Bill Maher this past week or last weekend, and even his 10-year-old kid have been picked on. And I'm thinking, really? Well, if anyone ever said anything similar, talking about incest, and it was about any other first family or any other prominent liberal figure, not one liberal has spoken out against Bill Maher.
Can you imagine if Sasha and Malia were a part of that story? They never were.
It would be despicable. Yeah, exactly. A kid should be, but how is it that not one feminist, Hillary Clinton, no, none of these people say a word?
I know. And do you remember when Bill Clinton was in office and there were a few media outlets that attacked their daughter? And it was, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're doing this. And everyone said, the kids are off limits, kids are off limits. Sasha and Malia, most people stayed away from them. I don't ever remember any stories about them. But from day one, President Trump, no matter what he does, no matter what his family members do, I mean, his own daughter was registered as an independent. She couldn't even vote for him in the primaries.
Yeah.
She is pro-women. She's pro-equal pay. She has a business. She's hired a lot of people.
She's a lovely she's a lovely person. And she's got a new book out, too.
Smart.
She's so smart. All right, I got to run. But if people want to do this, they're going to do it through Sunday, and they're going to match up to 5,000 books, Take Heart, My Child. And to do this, you go #, Take Heart, My Child, right?
Correct. Thank you, Sean. This is awesome.
By the way, I love the show.
Kids.
Brian talks too much. Can you tell him to just shush a little bit? Just tell him I said that, because I know it'll irritate him. All right.
I'll pass it along.
All right. Ainsley Earhart of Fox and Friends, thanks for being with us. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the... Tonight on the Fox News Channel. We've got a big show tonight. Opening monologue tonight you don't want to miss. The president not taking the lies anymore, and he's fighting back, and we're going to fight back. You know what? I'm sick and tired of the lies, propaganda, misinformation. Newt Gingrich tonight. Judge Deneen Pirro interviewed the president earlier today. Also, we're starting a new segment tonight, Fake News Daily Update. You don't want to miss that. We'll have Jay Sekulow, Sarah Carter, and Peter Schweitzer will tell you about the Uranium One deal. That's all coming up. Hannity, set your DVR, 10 Eastern. See you then. Thanks for being with us. See you tonight at 10. Back here Monday. Have a great weekend.